Hello. Well, here we are again.
Good.
Old Joey the Clown, here we are again. Here we are.
Yes.
Oh, what a crowd. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
But it's very nice that you come through.
No, problem. I'm not used to this sort of business at all.
No.
Well, they're very anxious and very interested, and, you know, they hope eventually they'll be able to have a few words. Then it takes a bit of practice and experience. You just can't do it straight off very rarely anyway.
Yeah, but you'll do very well.
You, Mr. Woods, Mrs. Green.
Very well indeed.
Nice to see you both again. Very nice.
When did we meet last before, friend?
Oh, long time ago now. I can't even remember how long it was, because I've been through here a good few times, you know, at different times and spoken to various people.
Yes.
What was
my
your name?
My name's Woods, too, you know.
What is it?
Yes, Sam Woods.
Sam Woods?
Oh, yes.
But you wouldn't remember. I think I spoke to you ages ago, before you had a talking machine.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes.
Well, Mr. Woods, Sam Woods, can you tell us, you know, something about your life on the other side? How you passed over?
Well, how I passed over?
Yeah.
Well, I was one of those fortunate, I suppose, people who passed over in their beds of old age.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't have nothing untoward happen to me, except in got a bit crotchety with age. Took to my bed in a matter of a few days, I, what you say, kicked the old bucket.
Yeah.
No one need worry about that, as far as I can see. Of course, I suppose it's human and natural. Everyone is concerned about the circumstances of their passing over. None of us sort of like the idea of getting feeble and ill and in pain. That's all very natural. But the actual idea of leaving your lot, your world, and coming over here, it's nothing. It's just like going to sleep and waking up into a new environment. You might say that's so much nicer and pleasanter than anything you know on earth. And all your old pals and your relations that you're fond of anyway around and about you, all giving you a welcome. Oh, it's a very nice how do you do, I tell you. Well, is that you were going to say, Mrs.
How did you actually find yourself, Sam, you know?
Well, I've never lost myself in the first place. I don't know about finding myself. I know what you mean.
You're happy.
Yeah, well,
tell us all about it.
Remember waking up in what appeared to be, well, I suppose you'd call it a nice little place, a little house. Yeah, nice room, nice flowers. Oh, beautiful little house. It was the sort of place that I'd always hoped one day I might have, but I knew jolly well from my own experience on earth that I never have it on your side, because I never had the old wherewithal to buy it or even rent such a place. But here I found myself in a very nice, lovely little place it was. It was not too big, but just my cup of tea, just very pleasant. And there was my old lady, looking as I remember many years ago, looking 30 years younger. She was standing there, just looking down at me, and lying on this here sort of couch arrangement. And I remember sort of waking, as it were, from sleep, and first thing I saw was this lovely room, and my dear lady standing at the bottom of the bed, as it were, on the couch rather, and one or two other people that I'd known. There was my wife's brother that died in 1914-18 war. He came over, he was torpedoed or something, if I remember, in the First World War aboard ship. And there was my mother there. First, I didn't even know it was my mother. Never even cottoned onto that at all. I recognised my wife, but I thought at the time how much younger she looked. And there was my mother. But Do you know, I didn't recognise her. She looked like a young woman about 20. Mm. I'd seen a photo of her taken many years ago, but I never cottoned on to the fact it was my mother, but oh, it soon dawned on me who she was. But at first she looked like a beautiful, well, lady that I had some vague idea of, but never knew. It was a funny thing, you know, that when I come to think of it, all the various people who were there, people I'd known, and what amazed me more than anything there, squatted down on the side there, was my old dog Timothy, old Tim. Oh, a lovely old creature Tim was, with me for about 15 years or more. He was a nice old dog. And there was a cat that my wife had always been fond of, a ginger cat it was. We used to call it old Marmy. It was a marmalade cat, Marmy. My wife always called it Marmy. And she got that there and all it was, I don't know, I'm going to begin to describe it. And anyway, they soon made themselves known to me, at least those that I wasn't certain as to who they were, but of course I realise now it was the fact they all looked so much younger that puzzled me. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, they were there, and I had this feeling in myself. I thought, well, I don't know, is this all a dream or what is this? And I thought, well, this is something, this is. And they all said, now take it easy, don't worry, don't fuss for anything. And I said, well, where am I, you know? And they said, oh, you're all right, you're with us now, and you'll be all right, and nothing to worry about. But I said, well, I can't understand this story. And they said, well, you don't want to worry about it, you will. I said, but where am I? And they said, oh, you're over here with us, you're passed over, you know. Mm. I says, what do you mean passed over? So they said, well, you're dead. I said, dead? How can I be dead when I'm here? And I said, well, that's funny, of course, you're all dead, aren't you? And he said, well, so I must be then. So they said, that's right, don't worry about it. Stop thinking about it. And they said, if you like, you can sit up, you don't have to lay there. I was laying there, you know, I thought, just relaxed and comfortable, and I don't know quite what I did think. I thought, well, they say I can sit up. Well, I'd been lying in bed for a parcel, or must have been about 10 days, I suppose. The idea of getting up seemed a bit odd to me. I got to the habit of lying, and I had to stay in bed when I was so bad. Oh, they said I could get up. I thought, oh Lord, get up. And I felt myself, my legs were all sort of comfortable. I didn't have that pain anymore up my legs. Anyway, I sat up and I thought, dear, this is something, this is. And I stood up and I felt like a youngster again. And I don't know, but it seemed as if I'd gone slim again. And I felt so different and light and easy, you know. I thought, well, anyway, they said, let's go out into the garden. I thought, oh, well, let's go in the garden. They says, I went into this garden, which was lovely. Oh, it was a real picture, this garden. There were beautiful trees, and there was a lovely lawn, all lovely flowers, all in pretty nicely laid down beds, you know. And there was nice furniture there, you know, like, yeah, rustic seats and things and chairs. And oh dear, this was something, I tell you. I thought, well, I don't know. Anyway, we chatted and they explained things to me, that I had come over to them and that there's nothing to worry about. And they were talking 99 to a dozen, you know, about this, that and the other. And I was asking about people and they were saying, oh yes, so-and-so's all very well and happy, and so-and-so will be coming to see you. And oh, I was so intrigued with everything. And I said, well, what about them down there? So they said, oh, you don't worry about them. Mind you, I haven't got anyone very close to me, because most of my friends and people had gone over before me. But there were one or two people I was interested in. And they said, well, if you want to go back, just have a look, you can, but we wouldn't advise you to go yet. Wait a while, wait till you're settled. So I said, well, what you say since being, and I was very curious by the way they was dressed. Mm-hmm. My wife, she had on a sort of, well, I suppose you'd call it a two-piece, a sort of lilac-y coloured dress with a skirt and a sort of little coaty thing. Pretty it was, lace with one, like that sort of white lace. And I knew she was always handy with her needle and used to make things. And I asked her, I said, that's a nice little outfit you've got. I said, you can make that. She said, oh yes. She said, I like to do little jobs like that and make clothes and needlework. And I said, well, it looks very nice, dear. And of course, I thought this so silly, really, now I come to think about it. Of course, we had so many things to talk about. But I don't know how one seemed to talk about very ordinary things. And she looked so much younger, of course. Her hair was quite fair and long, but she got it all done beautifully. And sort of, oh, I don't know how you'd explain it, but high up on the head, looked very attractive. And she, her feet, she got very nice little neat shoes on. And I was curious. I said, well, where do you go on about these things, Emma? I said, if you were all dead, do you have shops? Do you have factories and all that? So she laughed and she said, well, I don't know, we don't have shops, as you understand it, but everyone here, she says, finds work to do that interests them, work they like to do. So she says, there are people who make shoes and there are people who supply the material for making dresses. And a person who likes to make a dress like I do can make it. And we can get all the things that are necessary. But I said, does that mean to say then that you have to have, you must have the stuff? I said, does that mean to say you will have to kill animals to get leather and you have to grow stuff to make the different articles? So she said, oh no. She says, here it's something which, although we create everything, we make everything, it's a matter of thought. She says, now, if I think to myself, I would like a nice dress, I think of the kind of material I would like, and I'm able to have that material and I'm able to obtain it from an individual who, by his interest and his desire to serve and to help, can make that, create it. It isn't, we don't grow things and we don't necessarily make things in the same sense, she says, as the way you do up there. Yeah, but she says these things can be created and they can be brought into being. And she says, I know it sounds stupid, you might say to me, oh well, I can make myself a dress without even personally thinking about it, not having to get down to doing it, but there'd be no fun in that, there'd be no pleasure in that. So we are able to use the articles, as things, and create and make things. But of course I believe that our people who can bring into being all sorts of things which they need or feel are necessary without any effort whatsoever. But I wouldn't want to do that. She says, I prefer to have some effort about it. I don't want things just to be put into my lap, she says, because I couldn't cotton on to a lot of this at all at first. Very interesting.
What are you doing with yourself?
Well, at the moment, not very much. You might say, perhaps I'm self-centered, I don't think I am, but I don't feel the urge or the desire particularly to do anything. I seem quite happy to be able to completely relax. I love reading and I'm able to borrow books, all kinds of books that I would have liked to have read. We never seem to have time for on earth. So I go to the library here, a wonderful building where I seem to have every book, I think, of any consequence has ever been published. Anyway, I've been reading and studying a lot, learning a great deal, And I'm very fond of novels, good novels. I've read all Dickens's works, and I've met Dickens. Oh, what a nice, charming man he is. And in some strange way, I'm able to understand those novels and understand the people, the characters, and everything that he created. And as if I really know, of course, they're not real people, but because he put so much into them, they have a sense of reality. And it's very interesting how if a person thinks and creates and it comes from deep within them and it's good, they are able to bring into life something which has a reality. And certainly, although these people that he wrote about are not individuals from the point of view of having souls, they certainly have a life, you might say, of a kind, and it's most intriguing and interesting to feel that you know these people. It's very interesting indeed, and I've met a lot of other people that I've read about and heard about, and marvelous music I've listened to. Oh, goodness me, I always used to want to be a musician, and I'm hoping that I may be able to take that up as an interest. I'd like to feel that I was creative and helpful in some way. I'd like very much to be a musician, because I'm living now with my wife, and we're very happy. We had no children, but in a way, perhaps that doesn't really matter. I sometimes think it would have been nice to have had children, but we didn't. My wife died many years before me. What was that you was going to say, Mr.?
Have you any beautiful gardens there? Lovely gardens, very big gardens.
Oh, there are gorgeous gardens, great terraces of... Oh, talk about some of these posh places you hear about on earth, like Versailles and that sort of thing. They've got all that here. Sometimes we go out and we visit these great, what you'd call estates, I suppose, where there are beautiful buildings as well, but these are more like, I suppose you'd call them a kind of museum. It's as if they house all sorts of things which will bring back memories of past. It seems as if they're created to a great extent by the thoughts of many individuals who once had those places and had that interest. But on earth, it seems to me as if you might say, over here, everything that is really worthwhile and everything that is beautiful, everything that has a meaning or a place on earth exists here in a replica. It's as if nothing value or real value or worthwhile is lost. I've seen the most gorgeous paintings, oh, fantastic, beautiful works of art. But here they're for everybody. Everyone can share in them, everyone can appreciate them. I suppose in a way, I look at it now, I realize that I'm in a sort of state where I am content. And I'm not suggesting that one should be necessarily be discontented, but I've been told, and I can quite understand, that I am in a state of being which suffices, which contents me, because of the great interest and the variation of things, which seems inexhaustible, gives me the opportunity to learn and understand all sorts of things which, frankly, I've never had on earth. I never had the background or the education or the money to do any of the things, but here I can do all those things and appreciate them and learn. And when I've assimilated a great deal or all that I feel is necessary on my own particular place, sphere, whatever you like to call it, then I understand I may and probably will go further afield. But at the moment, I've no desire for change. I'm perfectly happy. I don't see how anyone can want anything more than this. And yet I'm told that this is not necessarily in a highly advanced state of being. But if this is, as I know it to be, the state which the average person comes to, well, I can't imagine anything better. But I suppose what I've been told, and it must be true, there are many stages of evolution which are far beyond this. But I know one thing, that this suits me, and if I were in any other environment, I'd feel uncomfortable because I would know I wasn't ready for it. This is just right for me, my dear wife, and all the people I know. And I know that it's a condition of life which the vast majority of people will come to. It's, I suppose, the normal condition of life for the average person. And that meant all types of people, all nationalities. And the first thing that they seem to lose is intolerance. It seems as if that horrible feeling that people do have, even when there's no real need for it, that intolerance departs. Here there seems to be a generated force which comes from deep within everyone, a real love, real companionship, desire to be in harmony together. It's a real paradise. No one need worry or fear death. It's something you should all look forward to. It's a great adventure which, well, it's the most wonderful experience. No one can ever put it into words. I look back and think of myself, my life. It was pretty ordinary. Nothing out of the ordinary ever happened to me. I don't know that I particularly wanted it to. There were times when I thought how nice it would have been to be able to travel and see places. Well, here you can see all that you've ever wanted to see, you might say. I don't say it's all necessary, but it's there if you want it. I think each man takes from his life here the things that are most necessary for his joy and happiness or his own personal life. I mean, I can see now how it's necessary to experience all manner of things and to appreciate them and to learn from them all that they can give. No one need worry or fear. Life here is something to certainly look forward to. No one need fear dying. It's a great, wonderful adventure. I wish I could put into words all I'd like to say.
Have you seen a sea? Have you ever seen it or any sea?
I must admit I haven't seen any sea, but well, I should imagine it does exist.
Can you tell me, when you look across a valley or a mountain, what is is it a sun ray? Is it kind of a sun ray? I understand you have rays there, not the sun. That's a...
All I can say is that there's illumination, which is very beautiful, but it's soft and mellow, it's not harsh and hard, and I understand it's not the sun's rays.
Oh no. And the colour is very beautiful, they are.
They certainly are. They certainly are. I've seen colours here I've never seen on your side. Gorgeous, beautiful colours. I must go.
Oh, thank you ever so much.
I wish I could stay.
No, but that's very wonderful.
Another time, eh?
Yes,
you can do a lot of
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye. I'm sure you can do better.
You did well, Mickey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mickey.
No, thank you.
That was very nice of you, Mickey.